This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you. Kick it!
And here we are on a Tuesday, and we're greatly happy to have you with us. 360-676-5464 is our phone number. That's all about you doing the talking, or most of it anyway, which is a good thing, considering my opening statement there. Kind of clunky. But great to have you with us, and we do hope to hear from you, whatever's on your mind. 360-676-5464. And as always, oodles and oodles of things to discuss. So give us a ring. Let us know what's on your mind and what your take is on it. All right. Well, let's get going. We haven't heard from him for a while. Delighted to have Majid in Bellingham join us. Hi, Majid.
Hi, Joseph. I mean, Joe.
That's all right. Joseph is my, my legally given name.
Because I'm used to Arabic, you know, they call it Yusuf.
Yusuf, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I just came back from Gaza.
Were in Gaza?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went there. I went to Israel. I went to Iran. I came back. My brother is still in Iran. And the thing is, people are laughing at our leader over there.
Okay.
Everyone is laughing.
Okay.
They're hoping that he goes away. Because, the way he talks, the way he walks, the way he does anything or everything, it's just a matter of seconds, you know, that people are just furious, you know. They don't want this guy here as a leader in America, the greatest country in the world.
Okay. Well, last I checked, people in Iran and Gaza don't vote for our president and don't have any say in who our president is, but
they do.
All right.
They do.
No, they don't
tell you anything.
So what? Because well, tell me about your excursion into Gaza. That I find very interesting. How did you get into that
turmoil
territory?
Well, I went from Egypt through Rafah.
Okay. You did go to Rafa? Okay.
I speak Hebrew.
But now, isn't that border crossing, isn't that closed?
No, not for Americans.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be a fool. People who think like that, they're fools. Americans can go and come. No problem.
Okay.
You show your American passport, you go.
You just walk right across the border from Egypt into South Gaza. Okay.
Yes.
Then what did you see? What did you experience there?
I saw a lot of people suffering from food, from housing, from everything you want to think of.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are begging me to give them a dollar or a quarter. So I give them dollar here, dollar there. I gave away $10,000 just to people who are poor on the street begging me.
But is there anything for them to spend that money on?
Yes. They go and buy food. Okay. They go buy water. There's no running water.
Uh-huh.
There's no food. Netanyahu, he cut everything on them. Okay?
Okay.
And I am so devastated. I am so angry. I am so sad that people are suffering. Doesn't matter Muslim, Jews, or Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I would agree with you, yeah.
You gotta care for human beings. When you see somebody on the street dying, you don't ask them if they're Christian or Iranian or Muslim or Jews. You just help them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
Okay.
I didn't have much. I gave what I had, $10,000 I lost, but it's a good cause. I like it because Allah is going to help me. I know.
Now, did you encounter Israeli Defense Forces while you were there?
Yeah, they come up. They say, who are you? This and that. I speak English.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, of course you speak English, and say, I'm American. I want to help people.
Okay.
They said, go, please, this way. Please.
So
don't mess with Americans or British.
Okay, you know, but they could tell that you were an American. I mean, but you had to identify yourself as an American, and then they didn't mess with you, huh?
Of course not.
Okay.
When you're American or British or Australian, they bow to you.
Okay. Hmm.
So
all right.
So I had to do what I had to do. I had to help people.
What is that? Why
I
you went there was to give away $10,000, or what? What was your?
I gave away $10,000 just as a charity.
Okay.
And I love it. It makes me feel so good. It took me a lot to save it, but I give it. I give it to those people who need it.
Now, how long were you there?
I was there for 10 days or. No.
Now, where did you stay for all that time?
And hotels.
There's a functioning economy. There's a functioning society to one degree
somewhat,
or another in Gaza.
Somewhat, yes.
Okay.
Somewhat, not all. Somewhat.
Uh-huh.
For Americans, there's functioning everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And remember, you got to have the same color, you got to have the same language, you got to be the same like them. Otherwise, they recognize you. If you go, they arrest you.
Or any other American. Now, you're saying the Palestinians, the Hamas authorities?
Both. Israeli, Palestinian, both. You got to be like them.
Now,
I look like them. I speak like them. And I talk like them.
Mm-hmm. But now,
you
identify yourself as an American. I mean, was that not off-putting to Hamas or to people that...
No problem. Hamas, I know what to do and what to talk to them about.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're idiots, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Believe me.
Okay.
Even though they think they're smart, they're not. They're not.
Okay.
Just like Americans.
Yeah.
There are a lot of idiots here too.
Oh sure. Yeah.
Idiots.
I won't dispute that.
350 million. I told you, 350 million, 330 are idiots here. Yeah.
All right.
Believe me. But anyhow,
well, I don't know if that
America
many people are idiots trying, here, but we've got our chair. But.
Biden is making a big mistake. The way he's doing his business is not correct.
Which business?
Well, even Jews are laughing at him. Even Jews.
Because he's old?
No. Cognitive. It's not old, it's cognitive. The way he thinks, the way he cannot talk.
Okay, all right.
Okay, that's how it is. And they see that, they see these things. They're not stupid.
Yeah, but I don't know that there's been an American president who's had great respect especially among Arab countries
yes,
or Arab populations.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Carter. President Carter had a lot of respect.
Really? Okay.
You know, yeah, oh yeah, in Middle East. Ronald Reagan had some respect over there. Bush, the big Bush, you know, his father,
uh-huh.
He had some respect until he attacked Iraq.
Okay.
And then he messed it up.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Okay,
anyhow,
Majid.
And then I went to Sweden and Denmark and Europe.
Wow.
Hungary. Yeah.
Well, now, how were you treated there in Scandinavia?
Very good.
Okay.
They love Iranians.
Okay.
Yeah, and Americans. Of course, they all love Americans and Iranians.
You got the double whammy going. You're Iranian
double
and you're an American.
Everywhere.
Okay.
Yes.
You are just golden.
No, I want to. I'm adventurous.
Well, that is absolutely true.
Yes.
You know, by your travels, I
yes.
would say
I
you
travel
are adventurous.
A lot. Uh-huh. My brother does too. My brother is 85 years old.
Oh wow.
Yeah, okay. He is still in Iran. He's going to travel. He's going to go all over East Africa. He's going to go Sweden. He's going to go Denmark. He's got one wife in Iran. Just one wife.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you had another one somewhere else.
No, all right. No, it doesn't work that way.
So that's
not
that,
with
that,
our family.
That's your younger brother, right?
My oldest brother is 85.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding you, Majid.
I'm the youngest one.
Okay. I was teasing you.
But I love talking to you, and I really appreciate you taking my call.
You bet. I enjoy talking with you, Majid.
People are watching. Remember, people are watching the world about Biden.
Okay.
Because every mistake he makes, they laugh, and they don't want him.
Okay.
They think he cannot run another 4 months even.
Well, we'll see what happens. All right, Majid. Thanks, and I'm glad. I think we're all glad that you made it back safely. And
I'm going to go back soon later again.
Okay, well, just be careful. That sounds like dangerous spots you're headed into.
Do you think I want to get killed?
No, I'm sure you don't. But then,
I'm pretty careful.
All right, good.
I'm smart.
Good. All right.
Take care.
Well, we have to do a travelogue or something. You know, get you down at Mount Baker Theater. You can show us some slides of all your travels.
Sure, I will.
All right, Majid.
Okay.
Thank you,
care.
Sir. We'll take a quick break. A little extended visit with Majid there, but we'll get to Rich and Rod and Jim and you in just a moment. 360-676-5464.
In search of dependable heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration services, look no further. Smith Mechanical stands out from the rest. They've spent over three decades dedicated to keeping homes and businesses comfortable year-round, whether it's the heat of summer or the chill of winter. Need residential or commercial repairs, routine maintenance, replacements? Smith Mechanical is at your service. Offering estimates to help guide your choice, Smith Mechanical isn't just another company. Your comfort, efficiency, and savings remain their focus. Join the satisfied customers who have trusted in Smith Mechanical's exceptional service. Their professional team isn't just out to deliver. They're here to impress with precision and care. Ready to experience this difference? Navigate to smithmechanical.com today and allow Smith Mechanical to show you their dedication to your comfort and care. For more information, visit smithmechanical.com. Make the right choice. Choose Smith Mechanical for your heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration services. Choose comfort. Choose care. Choose Smith Mechanical.
It's officially summer. Enjoy it in comfort and style with new patio furniture from Wilson's Furniture. With the biggest selection north of Seattle, you're going to find the set that is perfect for your budget and lifestyle. Wilson's, open 7 days a week on Pacific Highway in Ferndale.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Sign up for the CHS Northwest Propane Autofill Program and receive a cellular tank monitor with no monitoring fees. Plus, you'll be able to review your daily tank level readings from your smartphone or tablet. CHS Northwest, everything you need for home and farm. Online at chsnw.com.
Business owners, you have job openings? We have HireMeWa.com. HireMeWa.com is Cascade Radio Group's hyper-local job board. It's free and easy to use. Upload your available job listings today. Job seekers can post resumes, too. HireMeWa.com is available 24 hours a day. Check back frequently. New job listings added regularly. HireMeWa.com. Business owners, post your job openings for free right now at HireMeWa.com. That's HireMeWa.com. HireMeWa.com is a service of Cascade Radio Group and this station.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
We'll go right back to the phones. Rich in Ferndale joins us. Hi, Rich.
How's it going today, Joe?
Doing good. Doing well.
Nice to hear from Majid. And it is so interesting what he talks about. If Gaza is not at all what we're told on the news, he can come and go multiple times. He can get a hotel. He can give people money to buy food, so food and water is available. So this 100% cutoff thing must not be true. If you can buy it, it's there. It has to be there. In other words, like it was a good questions you asked him, you know, functional economy. And so that just goes to show that the news that we see is only a very small percentage of the actual reality of what's going on there. The news is what they want us to see.
Yeah, I mean, you're right in one respect, but I think, you know, the fact that, you know, they're dropping 2,000-pound bombs on part of Gaza, which isn't a very big place. That's kind of the big story there. But, yeah, but it is interesting to find that there is apparently, at least according to this,
Americans,
you know, to Majid, that there are, you know, there are places to stay. There's food and water to buy to one degree or another. I suspect it's not available in all areas, and in some areas very scarce. But,
You know, a while back, we had talked about homelessness and helping the poor, and the government should help. And one of the last callers of that day, the government, they shouldn't help. It's like, we should do it individually. And Majid is a good example of how you help the world. You do it yourself. And anyone who believes in the government should do this, the government should do that, they should also be doing what they can themselves. And it's very easy here to donate money to nonprofits that help the needy and the homeless. You got Salvation Army, Red Cross, Lighthouse Mission, Homes Now, which I guess is half corrupt according to the news.
No, it's not. It's not a corrupt organization. There was one person who was found to have embezzled money from it, but it's a good, solid operation. Yeah,
well, that news proves it's not a good, solid operation. They had a high up guy stealing from it.
Well, those actions happened several years ago, and he hasn't been involved with that organization for years. And just the sentencing has just happened. As so often happens, though. So that's not a new story that, you know, this just happened. This organization's been running tiny home villages and doing a great job here in our community. Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways we can get involved personally. We shouldn't just always beat the drum. The government should do this. Government should do that. Government, government, government. We individually should do it, because that every dollar we put into something is as good as about $100 the government puts in, because nonprofits are far more frugal with the dollars. They don't have the overhead. You can even look up what nonprofits have the bigger or smaller overhead. There's different certifications for
government doesn't just assemble the organization, doesn't create the organization within itself to do these things. That's what it does. It funds these organizations.
It gives
grants to organizations.
Every dollar the government handles, they have bureaucracy that oversees it and takes from the pot. That's just the reality of government, Joe. And there's nobody.
I know you hate the government, Rich, and the government can really do nothing good. But you know, you've listened to that being preached for many, many years.
I'd love to answer to that. Government, Joe, has some core jobs, but they want to do everything. Now they want to take care of your children three meals a day. I mean, when are we going to turn back into the resident schools like 100 years ago, where they own your kid and you board them and take care of them and abuse them and who knows what else?
Okay.
Government is not here to wipe our butts, Joe. That is not their job.
I don't think anybody has created that that agency within the government.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Okay. All right.
Everything.
Well,
we need food. We need medicine. We have everything. Everything's right. The government has to
Okay,
give
Rich.
Everything.
Okay, did you have another point you wanted to make? We understand that. Okay. Let's move along.
Okay. Have a good day, Joe.
All right. Boy, it gets weary. But let's, okay. I mean, you know, I know there are those who have preached, you know, government is always the problem. But when it comes to major initiatives, fighting hunger, dealing with homelessness, dealing with so many issues that large numbers of people are struggling with, the government can act as a collective organization, and that's the thing. It's not creating agencies. It's not recreating what's already out there. It's helping to fund these organizations like our Opportunity Council and other organizations like that are doing the work on the ground. But let's move along. Let's go to Rod in Bellingham. Hi, Rod.
Hey, didn't Ronald Reagan say something about the government being the problem?
Oh yeah, and then
I'm sorry, that's not why I called though. But
that was his whole spiel. And then so let's elect him to run the thing that is the big problem. I guess I never really understood that. It's kind of like, okay, a guy says I hate automobiles, so let's put him at the in charge of GM. I don't know. That doesn't really.
We might get a different product.
Yeah, exactly.
We might be running around with donkeys or something. Heck, I don't know.
I don't know, yeah.
So, actually, the reason why I wanted to call, and I don't know how, it's hard for me to understand how you're saying his name exactly, but Majid?
Majid, yeah, Majid.
Oh, Majid, okay. Uh-huh. I've actually had the pleasure of running into and calling people, my friends from that neck of the woods in the Mideast, from different areas. And listening to him, I wanted to thank him for his perspective on this. And there were questions there that he wasn't going to be able to, he answered a lot of them, but there are questions that you can ask that he cannot give you, Joe. Because of the area. And then I was happy to hear in the end when he mentioned that you got to look the part, but he's got the title of American there. And he's right. He's got kind of a passport amongst the passports, if you will, by blending in with the people, by being able to speak the language by being of their bloodline. Mm-hmm. And it's really valuable for people like myself to hear people like him give us some insight as to what's going on. And again, you know, he mentioned the perspective of somebody. I mean, when you're talking about different countries and leadership, they put a big emphasis on that. And he was trying to tell you that really Biden, he is a laughing stock. And it may be something that we don't want to hear as Americans per se, but he's telling you what in the circle that he was in, what the perspective was. And that's very important. And I just really wanted to thank him. And I kind of, you know, when you were asking where'd he stay and all that, Joe, he's not going to tell you everything there. He can't, because there are other people that.
Okay,
he
so
has
I,
to
shouldn't,
protect
I shouldn't.
Too.
I shouldn't.
No,
ask him.
I'm not saying you shouldn't ask. No. Okay. I'm just saying you're not going to get the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, and that doesn't mean I'm not going to ask. So what?
No,
what's your point here, Rod?
I liked the close little interview on that, and I wanted to thank him for actually stepping up and offering the listenership here. A perspective, because it's very important. And like I said, I've had the pleasure and the fortune of meeting people of different ages who were close to rather important people in that region. And the story that I'm not comfortable telling over, you know, the air here, but it's fascinating. And I find cultural anthropology very fascinating. So again, I wanted to thank Rajiv on that, and
okay.
Thank you for keeping him kind of on, because I thought
Majid.
it was Majid.
Yeah, Majid.
That was gonna. You didn't just let it go because it's like, oh, okay, Joe, good. You know, you got him to tell us a little bit about what's going on, because I thought you were gonna end the call much earlier than you did. So
No, I wanted to find out what his travels have taught him and what he can teach us about what's going on. I thought, like Rich was saying, it's really interesting to hear that there is, because we get this idea in our heads that this is what Gaza is. It's simply a devastated, war-torn region, which much of it is, likely. It sounds like at least the major cities are
pretty
much. You wouldn't
want to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't want to be there.
But yeah, but at the same time, people are able to at least find a way to survive. And I mean, obviously that's the case because, you know, I mean, people are resilient and can find ways to get through even, that kind of horrible situation, that kind of trauma. But all right, Rod. Yep.
All right. Well, take care. And thanks again, Majid.
Right on. Thanks for your call, Rod. And we'll take a quick break. Be back with more in just a moment. 360-676-5464.
I call myself a confident backseat driver. Mom, brakes, please.
Gotcha.
But I'm less confident in the economy.
Same here, buddy.
Thankfully, Les Schwab Tires helps make sure that our safety never takes a backseat, even when we're watching our wallets.
Roll into summer. Save up to $200 instantly on a wide selection of tires and wheels. Les Schwab Tires. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. Details at leschwab.com/sale.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-385-9302 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-385-9302. That's 800-385-9302. What do you have to lose? Call 800-385-9302. Again, 800-385-9302.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Great to have you with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. We do want to hear from you, whatever is on your mind. Robert in Bellingham's on the line. Hi, Robert.
Hello. I'm curious what Majid would say about what the Palestinians think of Trump, because he's says that they're laughing at Biden, but I don't know if they would like Trump. I think Trump would be a lot harder on the Palestinians. And he does say that Carter was more respected. And I remember back at the time.
Not in Iran, Iran, yeah. I should say. But
people were laughing at Carter, but now when we look back on it, Carter was a very nice man. It tried to be good. And one thing I fear is that the bullies tend to agree. You know, there's a lot of people in the, you know, Hamas, there, a lot of them are like bullies. Iran, a lot of the leadership like bullies. And then here in the United States and in Israel, you know, Netanyahu is like a bully. And here in the United States, you know, we have our people who try to be nice and maybe they get laughed out of. But then we have the bullies, too, like Donald Trump is a bully. Maybe he'd be more respected or maybe he'd do something different that would really change the situation. But I think he would be worse for the Palestinians. But who knows? Maybe he'd just flip the whole thing and unintended consequences could happen. I don't know.
Well, that's a point that I think is maybe missed by many of the pro-Palestinian protesters that have popped up, and you know, the it seems like it's lost some momentum. But I mean, they're trashing Joe Biden, and I understand they're saying I can't support someone who stands by while there's a genocide going on against the Palestinians. That's basically, I guess I'm paraphrasing what I've heard from them. And at the same time, I mean, the alternative to that would be Donald Trump, who I don't think would adopt policies more friendly to the Palestinians in Gaza or in any way. You know, that he's shown himself to be very pro-Israel, so.
Yeah, I think Donald Trump would be a lot worse. And it just seems like people don't seem like they're logical. It seems like, you know, the nice person, I've heard the phrase, the nice guy finishes last. And I think to some extent the bullies get more respected. I wonder if he thinks somebody else would be better in Biden's place, like if the Democrats had another nominee that would be better than Biden. But at the same time, if it is going to be Trump and Biden doesn't drop out of the race, and I don't think Biden's that bad. I think he's walking a tightrope, a very careful tightrope, but at the same time, it's a difficult situation. But, you know, the bullies sound more simplistic. Yeah, we'll just nuke them and that'll solve the problem and people cheer, but I don't think that's necessarily a good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay, Robert, thanks for your call. Let's go to Rob in Bellingham. Hi, Rob.
Yeah, hi, Joe. I want to talk about the nonprofit thing, but you know, I think that as a radio host, there, you have not a lot of hesitation in challenging people who talk up Trump. And I think on the last caller, you know enough about history that you could have challenged him on the comment about Jimmy Carter, because you and I both know, and the audience knows, that a bunch of hostages were taken to Jimmy Carter by Iran, and they never released them until the day Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. So let's set that record straight as far as nice guys.
Was there a deal going on there between the Reagan campaign and the Iranians?
Nope.
I don't know. It just seems a little odd, but there was very much, obviously, a lot of animosity between Iran and the Carter administration, for certain. The Carter administration allowed the Shah to come here to be treated, and which in essence, gave the opening for that revolution to occur. Maintaining that friendship with the Shah, who was not a good guy, and
unfortunately, he was not a good guy with the Sabat or whatever his private intelligence force were, and people thrown in prison and then. They had the revolution, and they got another not a good guy, a religious fanatic, who did the same thing, only under a different name. So, you know, it's the people in that country are, I mean, a lot of educated Iranians. Many of them fled, but it's an educated society, largely in the Middle East. It's not, unlike some of them, not that primitive, but they seem to be powerless to have a true government. And that's part of the problem we have, and we think we can go around and make democracy around the world. These countries have had thousands of years of this, as long as we don't waste our blood. Anyway, I wanted to get on to the
and just on a personal note, I was in college with and I had some very close friends who were Iranian. They were here studying from Iran, and they were from from my sense that I got, they were from fairly privileged families. Families that their parents were, you know, higher ups, not necessarily politically, but in the economy, where they had, you know, had good jobs. They were fairly wealthy families. And when that revolution happened, suddenly they had to go back. They had to leave. I don't remember what the exact circumstances were around all that. But that was it was a sad time for us and for, you know, just us personally, but for many other people, too. Yeah.
Yeah, on the nonprofit thing, I usually agree with Rich, and it's not a big disagreement, but he said that nonprofits do a better job than government. I'm no fan of government, I think, but unmonitored, but I think that when it comes to aid and that, a properly monitored government system where the politicians aren't getting paybacks to get contracts to certain suppliers of food and that, I think it's better. You know, the problem with the nonprofits, and, I've had a lot of college, and I've known a lot of people who, you know, their daughters or sons are graduating from Ivy League schools. And what are the big bragging rights when some people sit around, you know, what's little Susie doing or John doing? Oh, he's going to go work for a nonprofit. And it sounds so noble. But, you know, these nonprofits, many of whom advertise for us all to send in a little money, if you look at the addresses of the places, they're usually in the best part of New York, right on Fifth Avenue. Nice offices, high overhead. And so I think anyone going to give to a nonprofit needs to dig down somehow on the internet and find out what the administrative costs are going. Mm-hmm. And one of the big examples was Haiti and the Clinton Foundation, which was started at the Haiti crisis. I don't know when that was, 10 years ago or that. I don't know that any of the money from that foundation went to Haiti, but I do know they did audit. I think they have to be audited for tax protection purposes and that for IRS. But the Clinton Foundation has an overhead of over 90%. And when Chelsea Clinton finished college, she went got a job at the Clinton Foundation, where she still is, at over $600,000 a year and nice offices in Manhattan. So, you know, when you give your $10, you need to know how much gets to the people. That's all I would say there. And otherwise, I think if we can put a control on government and monitor it, it can do a good job. But I think the nonprofits are overrated, sad to say. Maybe not the Red Cross, but, you know.
Okay. All right. But I think that's good advice. No matter what charity you're giving to, there are ways, you know, especially on online, to find out what the percentage of administrative fees is to what and to where the money actually goes.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. And let's go to Jim in – where are you, Jim? Are you in Seattle today? Are you in Bellingham? You're in Seattle. Okay. Go ahead.
In Seattle.
All right.
Boy, there's a lot of commentary going on that I'd like to respond to. I'll say Michael Parenti in the Myth of Capitalism video, he explicitly gives statistics on bureaucracy overhead. The cost of managing Social Security is 1% of disbursements disbursements. The private sector, it's about 13% for pension funds. Same with Medicare. Medicare costs $3 on every dollar disbursed, and that's compared with about 20-something percent in the private sector and the health sector. So, you know, it's also, he points out near the end of it, that if you're talking about utilities, PG&E is very bad. You have to pay CEOs all their wages and investors and all that. None of that happens with the government. And you can find honest people that'll take a decent salary, but they're not demanding to be millionaires like the private utilities are. And, you know, so that's another thing you pointed out, that they were asking down in the Evergreen State College, and they were saying that they're voting to try to get a public utility going. And he was all favor of it, and they clapped and cheered a lot. You can watch it. And as far as the deal with the we overthrew Mossadegh, democratically elected in 1953 in Iran. That's mm-hmm. the United States Kermit Roosevelt, some relation to the Teddy Roosevelts and all that. He was involved in it. The CIA,
FDR,
of course, CIA, and British Petroleum was interested there, too. And so they overthrew him. They put in the Shah, and he was more than just imprisoning people. He was torturing people. So we supported that the whole way, because he's our kind of thug, as Noam Chomsky would say. And then the release of the hostages just prior to the inauguration, right as Ronald Reagan was putting his hand on the Bible, they did release the hostages. That was known as the Devil's Agreement or the October Surprise. The October Surprise was a deal made back channel between the Reagan campaign, and Barbara Honegger is an expert on this. I sent away for her material many years ago, and she was working on the election campaign for Reagan, and she said she overheard someone in the next room say that there won't be an October Surprise. Dick just cut a deal, and he meant Richard Allen, the chief of staff, and all that.
Well, I don't doubt that there were back channel things going on.
Yes.
There very well could have been, and likely were. I mean, I suppose, though, if they were hoping to benefit the campaign, they would have had that deal come to fruition in October. But I guess then
it was done so that Carter probably would have won a close election if this didn't happen.
Well,
and so it happened. There's more to talk about. And anyway, thanks for letting me on. I'll just say, let's make our lives count for something. Even if you don't speak out, do what you don't get into trouble. You don't want to do something good for the whole of us. One last thing. BRICS technology is very, very hopeful sign. It's for global warming. BRICS. You can look, BRICKS. Look it up on the internet. And so thanks for letting me on, Joe.
Okay, Jim. You betcha. And we'll take a quick break and be back with more. We got Doug over in Birch Bay standing by. We'll get to you in just a moment, Doug. And we want to hear from you, too. 360-676-5464.
You love what you find at Wilson.
Great summer start at Wilson's Furniture. Wilson's is where you'll find the biggest and best selection of patio and outdoor furniture north of Seattle. If you haven't shopped for patio furniture lately, you are going to be amazed at the variety you're going to find. Wilson's has patio furniture made in aluminum, wrought iron, antique. You'll find motion furniture, pub style, fire pit groupings, sectionals, love seats, and more. Way too many combinations to even describe. You truly have to see for yourself the selection at Wilson's. And the staff at Wilson's are experts in helping guide you through your shopping experience, helping match you, your budget, and lifestyle with the perfect combination of furniture that you'll enjoy not just this summer, but for years to come. Looking for a new way to enjoy the summer night, even when it's a bit cool? You'll love what you'll find at Wilson's Furniture. Open 7 days a week on Pacific Highway in Ferndale.
You love what you find at Wilson's.
Summer savings are here with PNW Perks. This Wednesday, get a 4-pack of tickets to the Skagit County Fair for half off only with PNW Perks. You heard it here, Skagit's goat talent. The Skagit County Fair returns to the fairgrounds August 8th through the 11th. Come celebrate the best 4 days of summer in Skagit County as the fair celebrates its 125th anniversary. Enjoy the new goat playground where you get to interact with the goats. And of course, all of your favorite fair activities will be on hand. Experience the rush of the thrilling carnival rides. Enjoy all the different farm animals on display. There's even an interactive circus and extreme trampoline show. And then, of course, there's the delicious fair food. Elephant ears, anyone? Live entertainment and so much more. The Skagit County Fair has something for everyone and every age. So mark your calendar for August 8th through the 11th. For more details, search Skagit County Fair. Wednesday at 8 a.m., get 50% off a 4-pack of tickets to the Skagit County Fair, only at pnwperks.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Appreciate you joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's go to Doug in Birch Bay. Hi, Doug. Oh, sorry, I didn't have you turned up. Now I got you on the air, Doug. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I want to talk about government and the way you kind of perceive criticism against the government. Like Rich was critical of the government, and you said something like, "Oh, Rich, we know you hate the government." and then you said you didn't understand why Ronald Reagan would want to. You know, Ronald Reagan said the government is the problem.
Right. Right.
And you said you don't know why a guy would want to.
He's a guy that made a name for himself as the leader of governmental, you know, as a government of the state government and as the president. So
So you again with the same view. If anybody's critical of government, you think they hate the government. But if the government is the problem, don't we need somebody to get in there and make it so government is not the problem? Otherwise, government will continue to be the problem. And so,
but that's
like
I'm assuming that the government is a problem rather than I am assuming that government is a necessary instrument for that can function for the good of people, and I want to make it work the best it can.
That's
a little more positive spin on it, I guess.
I mean, that's what Reagan wanted to do. You know, I mean, he didn't want to take over an organization that he hated and make it worse. I mean, what do you think he wanted to do? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And it's not like he.
I don't know.
Wait, can I finish my thought?
Okay, sure.
it's not that he assumed government was the problem. It's that he recognized government was the problem. It needed to change.
In what way was it the problem? I mean, there are ways that it's not working right. I mean, if you've got a car that's not running, you figure out what the problem is, you fix that, and so it runs better. And I understand there's different concepts of how the government can function, but that's what he said. He said the government is the problem. The government can't solve the problems because the government is the problem. And
government was the problem. Yeah, I don't know what solution they were looking for, but he said government is not the solution. I made this point last week that you can't look to Washington, D.C. to solve all your problems. I mean, they cause more problems.
No, not all your problems, but I mean, when there have been made.
They cause more than they solve. They cause more than they solve with regulations running us deep in debt. You think the government.
Let's look back to the Great Depression, and it wasn't the government not regulating the economy is what helped that to happen, so it was private industry and abuse of the financial system that brought the whole economy crashing down. It was the government then that rescued it.
That's debatable, I guess, that maybe the government didn't do a good job of rescuing it, but FDR gets all kind of credit, I guess, and that's your view, that he did a great job, but maybe they could have done a better job.
But if people aren't working and the government is the only source, it's kind of, it's just like what we saw in the Great Recession, when the banks weren't functioning, nobody was lending. The government and to a lot of opposition, Barack Obama and the Congress pushed through some economic stimulus, which was ridiculed. But once again, the government was the only source of capital at that time. Banks weren't. Nobody was lending. The economy had ground to a halt, basically, and people were losing their jobs. So the government is the only entity at that point that has the wherewithal to be able to, if it has to, even borrow the money to fuel the economy, to help restart it.
I think it's debatable that was handled correctly also.
Well, that it is, and people on both sides, we hear from our socialist friend Jim about the bailout of the banks and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
But
Jim didn't even like that.
Right, exactly.
The government, he didn't like that, right?
Right. Well, he didn't like that aspect of it. Making loans possible to homeowners or to individual people who are struggling, I don't think he'd have a problem with that.
Obviously, I don't know where in the Constitution federal government has the power to do that, but we pretty much ignore the Constitution.
I don't know. It's the government is supposed to, work for the welfare, general welfare. And so,
that's not general welfare. That's specific welfare. Not everybody's getting a house, right? Not everybody's getting a house.
Beyond that, I mean, even making sure people who don't have the money to buy food are able to feed themselves and feed their families.
Well, we're not feeding everybody. Feeding everybody, right?
Okay.
General welfare, it's specific welfare, and it's supposed to be for the general welfare.
Anyway, all right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Doug, thanks for your call. Let's go to Tim in Everson. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Okay. I think you were hard on a couple people today, but I didn't call
well,
for that.
They give me heck, too, so anyway.
But. Well, they do give you heck, Joe, but... here's a quick criticism. Take it for what you want.
Okay.
But sometimes with your views... when they disagree with somebody, to me, and this is to me and maybe me only, sometimes you come across as patronizing and demeaning to them.
Okay. Well,
you mean to or not, because you're an intelligent guy, you could fight their arguments with good, solid arguments. Everybody can.
Okay.
But my reason for calling, I'm assuming that you're going to have some sort of alternate programming on Thursday and Friday.
Just on Thursday at the 4th. Yeah.
Well, everybody be safe. Don't blow yourself or anybody else up.
Or any part of yourself, yeah.
no, or set any fires,
mm-hmm.
but I'm all for setting them fireworks off, so let me hear them roar.
Okay. All right, Tim.
Okay, don't mind that at all. Have a happy 4th and a big, nice, juicy steak.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Yeah. And I don't mean to be condescending. Sometimes I guess maybe I get a little bit I think we all do when somebody presents a thought or an opinion that's so opposite of yours, it almost sounds like, are they joking? Are they kidding? And then maybe I make a little bit light of it, but I don't mean to be mean-spirited in any way. And if you take it that way, I apologize. But let's see real quick. Might have time for another quick call. We got Alan over on Lummi Island. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Joe. I just wanted to call you and tell you how much we appreciate you. And I would just like to remind all the callers and listeners to breathe deep and relax.
All right. I think
that's pretty much it.
Great. Well, that's good advice. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's something, we can all do. Because I had the thought, everybody's, especially, most of the people, I guess, in the liberal camp, they're clutching their pearls and feeling the vapors of over the Supreme Court ruling about presidential immunity. And, I had the thought, though, that, to really do any damage, any president, I have to have people do them for them, do the bad stuff. They can order them, but then those people have to go do the bad stuff. Those people wouldn't be immune. So, fingers crossed. If somebody was told to do something really awful, they'd say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put my neck out there for that. So anyway, that's just a thought for today, and we'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, KGMI Connects.